Sometimes when we go out for sightseeing, when we go out, then if you are unable to see many beautiful things, then you just turn those dirty things into beautiful things. In that way also, that this is also a kind of practice. Just transform all those dirty things into beautiful things, clean things, so that you just convert everything. For example, where we are here, that this room, you just imagine, this is not a room. But you just think that this is a pure land of Buddha. Amitabha, this is a pure land of Buddha. Guru Rinpoche, this is a pure land of Buddha Shakyamuni. You just go on thinking that way. Transform them into pure land. And then offer it to all Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. That is also a very effective offering, very huge, spacious one. So in this way also you can do it. Now, each time when we used to eat, when we used to drink even, but in the teachings, in the Buddha Shakyamuni's teachings, he said that don't eat food only for making your body good. Don't feel that way. Many of the people, almost all the people, they used to eat the food only to make this body healthy. This food is good for this. This is good for this. Normally we used to say that way. But that is with attachment. So we should not do that way also. Now when before eating, we used to offer it to Buddha and Bodhisattva. Now at that time also, you must practice saying that now here the food is kept in front of you, and this is not small. Don't think that it's a small quantity. Don't think that this is not the best food. You think that all the best food in this world, whatever we can get, everything is here. You just think that way. And now you are offering to Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. And when you eat it because your body is not an ordinary body. Now that way, if you go on thinking that your body is not an ordinary one, in this body there is the Buddha nature. The Buddha nature, if there is a Buddha nature, then it can blossom, it can awake from there. And this is also a kind of Buddha. So you are offering to Buddhas, not only that according to the certain theories, in certain teachings, in tantric teachings, they say that this body is the combination of all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. This is the abode of all the wrathful and peaceful deities. Everything is included here. When you eat, you are offering to them. And if you are unable to think that way, you think that your root guru is in front of you. He is always staying on the crown of your head. He is always here. Wherever you go, he accompanies. He is always here. He guides you. When you eat food, you think that you are offering to your root guru. He is here already. So if your way of thinking is offering to your root guru, then that food, whatever you eat, is also useful. It is also useful. The benefit to your body will naturally come. Even though you did not say that I want to eat this food for the benefit of my body, even if you don't say that way, but it benefits to your body because you are offering to your Buddha and to your root guru. If you offer to him, then he bless you. Through the blessings, yes, your body will become healthy. You will live long. The success will come. The fortune increases. So if you really wanted to become rich, if you really wanted to become fortunate, if you really wanted to become successful, then you must practice that way. If you go on practicing this offering with a pure intention to all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, then normally it's really useful. It benefits you. So, I think so. In this way, there are different types of, different methods of offering. Through the offering, you can accumulate a lot, merit, wisdom. I said before that offering offered to Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, give alms to the poor. The poor animals to them. Now here, when you offer, when you give alms, with the intention, I told you that there are boundless, many countless living beings are there who are suffering. Who are suffering. All the time they are suffering. And they, because of lack of faith and devotion to Buddha, Dharma and Sangha, because lack of practice, because they did not meet the right teacher, so they continue to suffer. They continue to take birth in this samsara. It's like a cycling. Cycling within this samsara. Sometimes go up, sometimes go down in this way. Sometimes in the lower realm, sometimes in the upper realm. But they are within the samsara. Because of lack of faith and devotion. So here, when you are going to offer, again, the intention and the faith to Buddha and Buddha, Bodhisattva are necessary. This is very important. Even if you don't know how to offer, even if you don't know how to practice, even if you don't know how to meditate, but to be very faithful and devotion to Buddha, Dharma and Sangha, that's enough. It will help you. That's enough. That's more powerful than those who are very intelligent, but they are not using it skillfully. So faithful is more important. Through faith, you gain your enlightenment. So, what I mean to say is, if whenever you are going to give alms to the lower realms or to those living beings who are really very poor and who don't have any powers, even powerless spirit, powerless troubleshooters, powerless living beings who are always roaming here and there, wandering in the samsara. Some have forms, some don't have the forms. Some living beings are formless, even though they are living beings, but they don't have the form. They don't have the body. They roam here and there in search of food. The poor, the pitiful living beings. They don't get anything to eat. So that is why in the Buddha's teachings, whenever you eat something, you just offer something to those living beings. Even if you are unable to give, like, person to person, but in your mind you can offer them, you can give them alms. So you just think that I'm giving this remaining offerings to those powerless living beings who are so poor, wandering in the samsara, and make them happy through giving alms. If you go on giving this kind of alms to these poor animals, then normally it won't harm you. It won't harm you means they don't have the powers to harm us. But they used to come in search of food. And it happens sometimes. It comes here and he thought that this is a food. And he tries to have that. And with that we become sick. With that we become some sort of some disease comes. Some may come that way also. But they don't have an idea saying that I want to give troubles. I want to eat that animal. They don't have that feelings. But they are in search of food. The poor animals. It happens that way. So, if you go on giving these alms to those poor living beings, then they will become satisfied and they won't harm anybody else. They won't go here and there in search of food. They will remain if we go do some pujas, do some prayers and offer them, then they will have that and they become satisfied. Their wishes were fulfilled at that time. Then they won't come you. They won't disturb you even. So, if they are not disturbing, then normally, what when your practice of giving alms is helping you also. Even though you are helping to those living, poor living beings, but with that, the help comes to you also. So in this way, if you go on giving alms to the poor, it will help you. That is one kind of practice of generosity. That's a kind of offering, again, accumulating merit and wisdom. So here, there are different types like that. The main thing is, it is good enough to be kind, and your intention should be always pure, without any attachment. If you do that way and then offer to Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, then it's really helpful to you also. It will help you to become Buddha very quickly. It will help you to destroy all the obstructions to become Buddha. So you are practicing because you wanted to become Buddha. But there, when you are practicing, there may be many obstructions, many difficulties, many problems may arise. So at the time, if you go on practicing, then normally those obstructions, problems, defilements will be cleansed and washed away. And the road towards the Buddhahood will be cleared, and then you can move very nicely. Without any problem, you can reach the Buddha's pure land very easily. So it is necessary to practice from the very beginning. Now, whatever you offer it with a pure mind. Just imagine the water. Now, this water, when you are going to offer the water, you don't think that it is only the water. This is the unification of all the offerings. Everything is included in this water and then offer. Through that also you can do it. Now, some things, some you just make in your mind. When you go out, now here, I think so, in Taiwan, when I go for sightseeing, for chamcham, just imagine, on the road there are many apple trees, many fruit trees are there. Now those things are the things which you have to offer to Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. That is also very beautiful, even though that doesn't belong to me. That belongs to somebody else. But I'm not stealing. But I became so happy that the owner of that garden is really so lucky. He is accumulating some sort of big merit. You think that way. And may he become more better and better. You just pray for him. Don't be jealous, but pray for him. And just try to cleanse his obscurations also in your prayer. Then his business or whatever he is doing, it may also increase. Good for him. But if you go on doing that way, yes, you are also helping to you. You are, even though you are not selfishly wise, but wise is helping with wise thinking. Even though you are not saying that I want this and that for me, but you are saying that may these beautiful things, may the apples grow very nicely so that it benefits to the owner. You go on thinking that way and pray for that owner. Then normally that owner becomes good. Then you rejoice yourself. You become so happy. And then offer those, because you have a chance to see those of things that. So while through looking, only by looking on those beautiful trees, which they bear many fruits, when the fruits are there in the trees, the fruits become like this. That means become very heavy. Normally we say that a tree without a fruit is always standing upwards like this. A tree with fruit, it always just bow down. A person who is really very learned, he is very simple, he always bows down. A person who is not so learned, he is boasting, he is standing upwards. This is one kind of sayings. Empty sack. Empty sack means an empty bag made of cloth. Empty sack, you know, S-A-C-K, sack. An empty sack never stands. Empty sack never stands. If a person who is not so learned, who don't know much about, or he is not so educated, then he can't stand up. This means that. Or sometimes there is a proverb saying that empty vessel, vessel means like this, big empty vessel. If we put it here, it gives too much sound, something like that. That means a heavy, a big heavy, a full of things inside the vessel. If we put it, just it goes down there and it won't give any sound. It remains as it is there. That means a person who is empty inside, sound give too much sound. A person who is really very rich in mind, he remains calm and quiet, stable in mind. So also what I mean to say is the tree which has many fruits always bow down. It bows down. Those things, even you just think that the paddy field, the rice field, when there is the rice on the top, it bow down. That means good. If it is not bowing down, that means this is empty still. Even though outside it is very big, but if it is standing up, that means it is empty. If it is heavy and inside is full of rice, it bows down. So those beautiful things, the tree with full of fruits, which is always bowing down, some sort like that, those things are beautiful things. So when I go in Cham Cham in Taiwan, here and there, say the sightseeing, I saw many trees like that. It is covered with some plastic. That means it is heavy, really extremely beautiful. Now those things are beautiful things. Offer them to your root guru. Why not use your mind? You use your mind, then just those beautiful things you just offer to Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. It is covered up with the plastic, means inside the fruits are very clean now. No insect is going to bite it. No bird is going to bite it. It is completely very nice apples, nice fruits inside, because it is covered with the plastic. So you just think they are something beautiful. You offer it to Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. And some beautiful gardens, many people, many good people, many kind people, they used to decorate with the beautiful flowers, many beautiful fountains. I like that. Because those persons who are creative in mind, they used to make many beautiful things so that many people go there and become happy. So those things are the things that you have to offer to your root guru. Because your root guru is the inseparable of all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. When you are praying, when you want to pray to Buddha of medicine, then your root guru is inseparable of Buddha medicine. If you want to go to the Buddha's pure land, that Buddha Amitabha's pure land, then you just pray to your root guru that your root guru is inseparable of Buddha Amitabha. If you want to go in the pure land of Tara, which is in Dharma, then you think that your root guru is inseparable of Jizun Dharma, Tara. It depends upon your way of thinking. If you want to, you want riches, you want become rich, then you think that your root guru is inseparable of God of wealth, Zambala. Something like that. That means your root guru is everything. Through your root guru, you can gain everything. But it depends upon your mind whether you wanted to get that, obtain that result or not. It depends upon your mind. If your mind is clean, if your mind is creative in thinking, then you can do whatever you like. If you are not successful, if you are not feeling well, if you are whatever you do, whatever you plan, it is not coming, it is not so successful. If this kind of situation is there, then you just pray to your root guru. Why it is so? Even though you are planning many things, but you didn't get any successful. Now, at that time, you just pray to Guru Rinpoche or Jizun Dharma, so that she or he, Guru Rinpoche, they will destroy all the obscurations. They can help you to dispel all the obscurations and make the road clean. And then you can move on the road very nicely without any problems. So it depends upon your mind. It depends upon your intention. How you are going to think, how you are going to receive the result. It depends upon your way of thinking. So when you go out, when you see those beautiful trees with the loaded many fruits, they are the beautiful things you offer to them. When you go in the garden, when you find some sort of beautiful fountains with in the shape of some birds, in the shape of some animals, in the shape of some mountains, and from the mountains, many beautiful waterfallings are there. Really, extremely good, extremely beautiful. So these beautiful things you just collect in your mind and then offer it to Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. It's really useful. So these are the things how you are, you can use, you can practice of offering. Now there are many things that you can offer to Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Why not use those things now? Now if you have, then it's good. It's excellent. If you have, then you offer everything without attachment. Then that is really extremely good. Even if you don't have youth, there are many things that you can offer now. Whenever you go out, you can offer beautiful things, everything. Now, turn towards yourself now. Now you have been born in many, many lives. Beginningless time, you have taken birth. So during those period, whatever the belongings of those your previous lives, and the belongings and the riches, whatever you have in this life, your houses, your car, and your friend, and your parent, your son and your daughter, your cloth, your books, whatever you have, without any attachment, if you go on offering to your root guru, to Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, and give some alms to the poor, then these are the real practices of Buddha Dharma. It doesn't mean that even if you are not a Buddhist, you can also do that way, and that is extremely useful. The same thing. Buddha's teaching is not only for Buddhists, but Buddha's teaching is to all living beings. Buddha has taught many things, different things of accumulating merit. So today, I have given only one example. Only the offerings now. Through offerings, you can accumulate a lot. There are thousands and thousands of methods of accumulating merit. So through that, you can offer now. Now, those belongings, whatever you have now, you can offer now to your root guru and to those living beings who are helpless. To them also, you just keep alms, which is also useful. Not even though if you just offer everything and you have nothing now, you are alone, nothing, everything is you offer to your root guru and you don't have anything, but don't bother. You won't die of starvation. You won't die. Because of the blessings of your root guru, you won't die. It is helpful to you. Even if you die, you can die happily. Because in the near future, yes, the benefit will definitely come on your own mind. It won't take by your root guru. Because your root guru doesn't want anything. Now here, I think so. When Guru Rinpoche went to Tibet, and say, from here, 1,300 years before, Guru Rinpoche was invited by the emperor, by the king, Dharma king of Tibet, Kesung Desen, and Guru Rinpoche went to Tibet. And those messengers who went to India to invite Guru Rinpoche, they met Guru Rinpoche in India, and Guru Rinpoche told them that, you go before, I'll come later. And they went away. And then Guru Rinpoche went to Tibet, and as soon as he started landing his first foot in the land of Tibet, then the negative forces, the evil spirits of the Tibet, they started giving many troubles to Guru Rinpoche. They don't want Guru Rinpoche to come in Tibet. So they started throwing many shooting stars. They changed the weather. They blocked the road by snowing too much. And they blocked all the roads so that they don't want Guru Rinpoche in Tibet. If Guru Rinpoche comes in Tibet, then normally Guru Rinpoche will subdue them, help them, and their power will become powerless. That is why they want to become so powerful in Tibet. If Guru Rinpoche comes, their power will become powerless. So that is why they don't want Guru Rinpoche. They started stopping Guru Rinpoche. But Guru Rinpoche slowly, he started subduing them, sometimes those evil, very powerful evil spirits, to them Guru Rinpoche used to show wrathful forms and then subdue them, give them teachings and make them dharmapalas, and told them, now from today onwards, you are my disciple, you have to look this land and my disciples, you have to protect them. Guru Rinpoche told them in this way. The smaller spirits, they normally, without doing anything, they went to Guru Rinpoche and subdued. They confessed their problems, they confessed their difficulties before Guru Rinpoche, and they said that they won't harm any living beings thereafter. And Guru Rinpoche blessed them and taught the teachings. In this way, Guru Rinpoche used to subdue, and whole Tibet, before meeting with the Dharma king, Guru Rinpoche went everywhere and subdued all the negative forces. As